month and a half early on this. But some of my greatest memories from growing up when I was younger are centered around Thanksgiving at my parents' house. I have a lot of different types of memories. When I was nine, we moved from New York to the Poconos. And one of my favorite things about the Poconos around Thanksgiving is the weather. For the most part, outside of a few oak trees, all of the leaves have now fallen on the ground. It's usually cold and crisp. It's blustery. It's some of my favorite time of the year, unless it rains. To me, there is nothing worse than cold rain. Give me 90 and sun. Give me 85 and thunderstorms. Give me 70 and 60. Give me 25 and 20 inches of snow. Give me 10 below zero. And I will take all of that. And you might think I'm crazy, but I would take it all over cold rain. Oh, it's just a downer. You can't really go out in it. It's gray. It's cold. Mercy. Either way, if you take that out of the picture, Thanksgiving, the environment, the weather is part of my, really my favorite time of year. And there's a couple of specific memories that I have. I had a friend who I went to high school with, and he had a couple of friends who lived in Reeders, Pennsylvania, which is maybe 10 or 15 minutes from my house in Tannersville. And every Friday of Thanksgiving weekend, we got together and we played football. It was all full contact. We called it the Turkey Day Bowl. And they were some tough games. They were good games. Well, one year, my friend says to me, "Jason, I got a ringer." You hear that, and I guess your antenna should go up and say, really now? Supposedly, this was a young guy, I guess my age, who played college football. He played quarterback on the college level. So usually when I played football and pickup games and all this, I played quarterback. And so my friend says to me, though, this could put you at wide receiver. And it, just a little tidbit, one of the most natural things I've ever done in my life was catch a ball, whether it was a baseball, a football, a basketball, and a fast break, whatever. If it comes to me, I catch the thing. And so he was excited. It was probably 9-on-9, 10-on-10 lines, tight ends, the whole deal. And we had the ringer. Well, I don't know what he was ringing, but we lost 63-7. I remember the score to this day, 22 years ago, maybe, something like that. And my brother played with us, and we jump in the car and we come home. During that time period, that actual day, it was not a great memory. As years have gone on, it has become a very good memory. But when we got home that day, it led to another memory, and that is this. It was Thanksgiving weekend that we as a family used to set up and decorate for Christmas. And we would decorate my parents' house with a tree, lights on the house, lights on trees outside. And we, my brother and I, used to put together a Christmas village. In my parents' family room, they have a big air hockey game, about 7-foot air hockey game. And every year we would buy the cottony rolls, the white cotton rolls, and we'd put it on the length of the air hockey game. And then we put up houses and lights, and there would be a train that went through it. And my brother, when he was in high school, or junior high, I can't remember which, he made, in an art class, he literally built out of pottery a church. And he put the light bulb in it and lit up. It was great stuff. And so I have that as memory as well. And of course, there were times in the Poconos where the snow would fall on Thanksgiving or prior to Thanksgiving. And our oldest son, Josh, had to be about a year old. And we went down to my parents' house, and my brother was there with us, and we're decorating the trees, and there's my son, maybe not even, well, just a little over a year maybe, and he's playing in the 3, 4, 5 inches of snow with my dad. Great memories of Thanksgiving and everything that surrounds it, not to mention the turkey. Anybody in here like turkey? Raise your hand if you like turkey. You sit down, right, and you eat turkey. And then you realize that you want to eat more turkey. And then you eat more turkey. And at this point, you basically take the sin of gluttony and say, well, I don't know if I believe that any longer. And you're stuffed like a turkey. So I love the food. I love everything about it. To be quite honest with you, when I look back on my life, through many ups and also many downs, I have a lot to be thankful for, as do all disciples. And so what I want to do today is take a look at Psalm 100, which is really a great Thanksgiving psalm. Last, or two Wednesdays ago now, we did a study on Psalm 23, so I decided to kind of keep with the same theme and look at Psalm 100. So if you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Psalm 100. We're going to read it all through at one time, just a few short verses, and then we'll come back and pick it apart. Here it is, Psalm 100, starting in verse 1. A psalm. See, if you ever wondered if it was a psalm, there it is. It's a psalm. And it tells you that it's a psalm for giving grateful praise. That's part of the title. A psalm for giving grateful praise. Again, this is why I call it a Thanksgiving psalm. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Anybody happy about that? His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So there it is, Psalm 100. And it starts out in verse 1, including the title really, talking about praise and thanksgiving. Can you go back to verse 1 again, please? We'll kind of keep it up there as we talk about it. A psalm for giving grateful praise. Shout for joy to the Lord, all of the earth. First of all, the term all the earth is very important here. It's not talking about rocks necessarily or mountains, all right? It's talking about people. So God's will for all people is that they would shout for joy to the Lord, and they would give him grateful praise. Now, we know that that doesn't happen for all people. Ultimately, God wants none to perish, but all to come to repentance, and of course, that comes through accepting Jesus Christ by faith as Lord and Savior. So we got some work to do as a church, people. We do, because God's heart is that all the earth would give him praise and would have thanksgiving towards him. So that's kind of a general thought. For us as Christians, though, let's remember something. Thanksgiving and praise need to be normal for us, ultimately because we know Jesus. And even in the tough times, we have something to give thanks for because we know Jesus, right? We'll talk more about that here in a little bit as we go on. Paul kind of chimes in on this in the New Testament when he says we should give thanks in all circumstances. Take a look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. There's that word again, all. Go ahead, everybody say all. Say it nice and loud. There we go. All means we praise him in good, we praise him in bad, we praise him in ugly, we praise him in everything in between. Now, this is where it's easier said than done, because I think we've all been in places before as Christians where the last thing that we want to do is to give thanks or praise the Lord. It could be because of circumstances we find ourselves in. It could be because we don't necessarily sense the presence of the Lord. Maybe we're going through a dry spell. Whatever it may be, has anybody ever been there before? Yeah, I've been there as well. And the last thing on your mind is giving thanks to God, because it certainly seems like there's not a whole lot to give thanks for. And to be perfectly honest, there may very well be very little to give him thanks for. When you look at circumstances, we've all probably had circumstances that would take our breath away. And we look at it and say, God, where do we go from here? It's not an easy thing when life happens. At the same time, though, the one thing that we do have is we've got Jesus. And we know that Jesus, even in the midst of whatever, still loves us, still is with us, and will never leave us nor forsake us. And he's working on our behalf even through those circumstances. A lot of times you don't see that until you're on the other side. And what's that old saying? Hindsight is 20/20, right? It always is. Oh, Lord, I see what you were doing there. I see that you were with me. Remember that old poem, Footprints? And there's two sets of footprints, and then all of a sudden there's only one set of footprints. Oh, God, you left me. No, God picked us up and carried us. And we've got to be careful, too, that we don't always equate God's presence with a feeling. I'm not so sure Jesus felt his Father's presence, I'm also not so sure that Jesus didn't feel very bad when he was hanging on the cross. If you remember, he's hanging on the cross and he says, "Oh, Dad, I'm so glad you're here with me." Is that what he said? No, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" So we've got to be careful. And by the way, that's a whole other theological discussion, and I'm not going down that road right now. But we do have to be careful that we don't always equate Jesus with a feeling. Sometimes it's just Monday morning blues. Other times it's extended blues. Other times you're wrestling with this, that, these, and those. At the end of the day, though, we always have Jesus. And maybe it really is an issue of focus. What are we going to place our focus on? A circumstance or Jesus? Psalm 103 kind of talks to this. So I want to jump over to Psalm 103 real quick and read verses 1 through 5 and take a look at this. This is a psalm written by David. He says, "Praise the Lord," or "Bless the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfy your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." There's a lot here. But if you focus on the first couple verses, we see two things. Number one, we praise God, bless God, like some of the older versions say, simply because of who he is. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." So we're praising God, we're blessing God simply because he's God. And he is love. He is just. He is awesome. He is great. He is righteous. He is holy. We praise him because he's God. But then it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not any or all of his many benefits." And then it lists some. It talks about, well, let's take a look at it. Go back to verse 2, please. "Forget not all of his benefits." Go to verse 3. Let's just walk through it and take a look at this. "Forgives all of your sins." Now, what's cool about this is this was written way before Jesus was born. Okay? We are on the other side of the cross. We see the fulfillment of this. Because when you put your faith in Christ, they're all gone. He forgives all your sins. He heals all of your diseases. That's an interesting one because sometimes we deal with sickness. We deal with disease. What I take from it is that God has the power to heal and that he is with you at the very least in the midst of all of it. Take a look at verse 4. "He redeems your life from the pit." I think the Amplified says, "He redeemed you from the pit and corruption." And he has... this is the Amplified. I memorized it in the Amplified. "He has beautified, dignified, and crowned you with loving kindness and tender mercies." Isn't that a great way to translate that? And then if you go to verse 5, "He satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." God is a renewing God, consistently renewing us and changing us and so on and so forth. So we praise God for who he is. We praise God for what he's done. I think a key thought here is that we're focused on God. I know for myself, and look, I know there's a lot of stuff that goes into rough times, but I know for myself, much of the time that I wind up struggling, it's because my focus gets off. That is part of the battle. It's a big part of the battle. And we all deal with it in different ways. And we also have to be careful that we don't expect something from someone that isn't necessarily going to happen. In other words, we look at a person in a situation and we make a judgment call. Oh, they're dealing with this, so it must be that. We've got to be careful. You know what our job is? We love each other. Pray for one another. Comfort one another. That's our job when you're in the midst of the valley. But the Bible's encouraging us, and not just here, but also in the New Testament. I think of Paul in the book of Philippians when he says, after he says, to be anxious for nothing, again, easier said than done, especially for a guy like me who has dealt with anxiety off and on throughout his life, be anxious for nothing. But in all things, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace that passes God will pass under, rise up, I'm losing it there. The peace of God, understanding, will mount guard and garrison your heart and your soul in Christ Jesus. He then goes on, though, to say, think on these things. He's not done yet. See, a lot of times we as preachers stop there. But Paul keeps going. Think on these things then. Whatever is noble, whatever is true, whatever is trustworthy, excellent, good. It's calling our focus to God and what he's done. So number one, Psalm 100, praise and thanksgiving. Number two, it goes on to talk about practicing thanksgiving. Take a look at verse 2. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. There is enjoyment. There is gladness when we serve God and when we spend time in his presence. Take a look at Psalm 16, verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. So look at this. There's joy and there's pleasure. Where? In the presence of God. This is why I harp on myself and on everybody else that I see here in this church to get alone with Jesus, to go after God, find that solitary place, crack open the Word, spend time in prayer, reading the Word, allow him to speak to your heart, his spirit to your spirit. It's such a important part of our lives. It really should define, I would think, our walk with Jesus. So we want to give him in praise and thanksgiving for who he is, for what he's done. And we want to serve him with gladness. When we serve Jesus, it shouldn't be out of obligation. This is an interesting thing because as sons and daughters, we're also servants. You know, there's a mixture of stuff. But I would think that the greater heart to serve is with gladness, with joy. God has saved me. I want to serve him with all that I have. Because there's a gladness when you're serving Jesus. Also, let's give him praise and thanksgiving through singing. That's one of the reasons why we have a worship service. Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings, whatever, it gives us a chance to do what Psalm 100 is saying. Worship him through singing. You know who did this? Two guys come to mind. Paul and Silas. Remember Paul and Silas? They were partners. And there they are. They're imprisoned. And they're imprisoned, why? Because of their faith. So in other words, they don't deserve to be there, and yet here they are going through this. And what's interesting to me is that they just simply began to praise God. I tell you what, man, I can learn from that. Here they are, right? And they're praising God. And all of a sudden, God does a miracle. Boom, they're free. Totally supernatural deliverance from an imprisonment which they did not deserve. There's something that we can learn from there. And that is, number one, praise and worship is powerful. And number two, let's remember, I can't speak for Paul and Silas. All right? But the Bible is silent on their expectations. I'm not so sure they expected God to deliver them. They were just giving him praise and glory. Another encouragement, I guess it is, from the Word to fight through and focus in on Jesus. give him praise, give him glory. So what do we see? They practiced it. They gave praise to God. We can do that as well. Singing is one way that we can give thanks and praise to God. And, you know, it's interesting because we have to remember that the object when we're singing is not the song. It's the Lord, right? We all have our favorite songs. And it's kind of interesting because, as you know, music has changed over the years, well, all over the world and also in the church. And what's interesting is you can have someone who is a big fan of contemporary Christian worship. And if you talk to them, they'll tell you that they have a couple of favorite songs. In other words, they like certain songs better than others. If you talk to someone who loves the old hymns, many times they'll tell you, well, this is my favorite hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Or one of mine, and you would see that this is true because I play it often, is Holy, Holy, Holy. To me, it captures the essence of who God is. One of my favorite hymns, which means I like that song better than others. At the end of the day, though, it's not really about the music. It's about the God who we're praising through the music. So, just a little bit of an aside, when you're in a praise service or a part of that service where you're giving praise to God through song, don't get all caught up in, oh my goodness, we're singing another hymn, or oh my goodness, we're singing another one of those types of songs. Instead, picture God, high and lifted up, seated on his throne. And there you are, giving him the praise and the glory that he deserves. Isn't that great? It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So practice thanksgiving. In other words, make it a part of your life. Number three, and this is a big one, understand who we are. Take a look at verse 3 again. Psalm 100, verse 3. I think I put that in there. There it is. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Number one, we must recognize that it was God who made us. It says it right there. He made us. And there's a couple of thoughts that come to my mind. Number one, God made us and he doesn't make mistakes. You are not a mistake. You are God's. And then I think of some other scriptures. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. How about this? God knit us together in our mother's womb, which means he was there at conception. He was the one who gave us life. This is God. He made us. And then it's helpful to remember, it says right here, that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now, this was written, obviously, by a Jew who was under the law and was a part of Israel. We, though, have seen the fulfillment of this. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture, because of the blood of his son, Jesus. So, we are made by him, and then we are remade by him, born again by the very blood of Jesus shed for us on the cross. In other words, we're his children. Take a look at John chapter 1, verse 12. Yet to all who did receive him, that is Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Who are you? You're a child of the King. You're a child of the living God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the soon coming King. Anybody looking forward to his return? Yeah. I tell you, man, I don't know, and I don't know where you get your news from, if it's print paper still. I think they still make those, right? There's newspapers. Whether you get it on the internet, the TV, the radio, you click on your phone, you get updates, whatever. I don't know how you get your news. But it is insane right now. It is insane. I mean, you look at what's going on globally. You look at what's going on nationally. Now, all of a sudden, Hollywood's in an uproar because this is happening and that's happening, and they're yelling at each other. You know, we've got an insane man in power in North Korea. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy stuff. But God has made us. He is with us. We are his kids. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. So again, even in the midst of a world that has gone nuts, we need to understand who we are. And the world, which has gone nuts, cannot take that fact away. Isn't that good news? Yeah. So, another reason to give thanks to him. And I guess it also gives, or goes along, I should say, with the fact that we are to put our focus on the Lord. The more that we know who he is, the more that we know what he's done for us and see what he's done for us, and the more that we realize who we are, that will give us impetus to give him praise and glory. So, number four, we also see a pattern of thanksgiving in this psalm. Take a look at verse 4. Each of my numbers coincides with a verse. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Okay, so here it is. We are to thank him in song, praise and worship. We are to enter his presence with praise. I think back to that verse in Philippians. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And when we do this, the peace that passes understanding becomes ours. So look at this. There's a bit of a process here. Prayer, requests, with thanksgiving, God's peace will come in. Now, we got to be careful because it may not come in immediately. Or you may have that peace and then wake up the next day and say, oh, Lord, right? Or it might take a couple of weeks. It might take a month. It might take 5 minutes. Again, we're all different. What's the old saying that was popular years ago? A lot of the older saints said it. Press through. What's the saying I'm thinking of? No. Yes, I'm looking at you. You know how many times I've said this, and I can't remember. That's right. I can't remember it. Mercy. Press through. Pray through. Pray through. Is that what I'm thinking of? Pray through. So in other words, you pray yourself through, or you pray somebody else through. It's one of these things where you're pressing on. I guess that's the tie in there in my mind. You're pressing on until you have that breakthrough, till you get through it. And remember, the highest calling that we've got is to be in the presence of the King in the midst of all of this anyway. And so again, it brings us back to blessing his name. Name above all names. We think of salvation only through Jesus. These types of things. And so we come to him with prayer and praise, and then he moves in response to that. And then finally, we'll see in verse 5 that we are to understand who God is. Take a look at verse 5. We saw who we are. Now take a look at who God is. He is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This is very encouraging to me. He is good. His love endures forever, and he is faithful. All three of those things are true of him at all times. And those are some really good things. And that's very encouraging to me, because when I'm living through life and going through whatever, good, bad, or ugly, it's helpful to remember that God still loves me, that God is still faithful, and he is still. So, month and a half early, but it's a good reminder for us. Thanksgiving comes once a year, but we can practice Thanksgiving and live in Thanksgiving monthly, daily, as we live with Jesus. This is a big part of his will for our lives. So there you go, Psalm 100. Can we stand together here tonight? They had snow in Denver a couple of days ago. Yeah. Snow. It's been 95,000 degrees here, and it's humid. It's October 11th. It's supposed to be cooler. You ever notice things are backwards now? I keep a weather journal. You probably don't care about this whatsoever, but I'm going to tell you anyway. And May has become August. And August has kind of become May. It's like 90 degrees in May. And then August, it's like 35 and rain. It's just crazy lately. It's like everything's kind of flipped around. Praise the Lord. Oh, mercy. Let's go ahead. We should probably pray before I get myself in trouble, yes. Lord, we do thank you for your word. And we know that your word is true. And today we see Thanksgiving. And Father, I want to pray for anyone in here tonight. They're going through a rough patch. They're dealing with things, whatever it might be. My prayer for them, Lord, is that you would be with them. You would make your presence known. That you would comfort them with the comfort of your spirit. And that your peace that passes understanding would truly mount guard and garrison their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Draw them close to yourself, Father, we pray. And help us in the midst of life to fight through, to press on, to pray through, and keep our eyes focused on you. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. You are good. You are love. You are faithful. Father, help us to keep our eyes fixed upon you. And may we be an encouragement to one another, an encouragement to press on to good works, to not throw in the towel, but instead, Father, to continue to seek your face. So we give you praise. We give you thanks. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Lord bless you all. We're done a little early, so if you have kids, maybe give Pastor Caleb a few more minutes with them. That would be nice for you, too, because you can let him keep them. See how that works?